The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The 11 disciples made their way to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had summoned them. And at the sight of the Lord, they bowed down and began to worship him, though many doubted. Jesus came forward, addressed them, and said in these words, "Full authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to carry out everything I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. So, how are you doing this morning? Good. Little drizzly out there, kind of, you know, has an effect on the spirit. But a great day celebrating the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord and how important that feast is in our tradition. It's important because it begs the question, what do we really believe about it? Not the head trip. What do we really believe as persons about the ascension of the Lord? How important is it in the large picture? First reading, we read from the opening of the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles was written as the account of the church coming into being following the ascension of Jesus back to the Father. So the story is told of how the early disciples and the apostles began to form the church just as he had prepared them. So in the opening, St. Luke makes it clear, he says, in the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day when he was taken up after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. In other words, he's preparing them for that mission to be church in the modern world. We are the ones continuing that tradition today. 2,000 years later, that is the only reason that we gather, that they took that pretty seriously and then made it happen and made it available for us. But it's interesting to read on further in that opening chapter. And it says, when they had gathered together, Jesus had directed them to come to the mount, and then he ascended from there. But when they had gathered together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he answered them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority." Interesting that they had all of those questions. They were still thinking, hey, are you going to show them now? I mean, really, man, you've gone through all of this, passion, death, resurrection, now are you going to show them? And one great author, a Methodist minister, he says, what Jesus said in that instance, he looked down at them and he said, "Guys, you're in sales, I'm in management." In other words, nice interpretation of that reality. Hey, don't be hanging around wondering about, I got it covered. You're in sales. Keep proclaiming the kingdom. That's what we are here for. And that's why this is a very important celebration, the Feast of the Ascension. It's interesting to see that they worshipped him when they saw him. And then the declaration from Luke, but many of them doubted. That's still an ongoing problem, the doubting. And it is naturally enough because we are very human. And we deal with the same realities as they dealt with. They didn't have any greater advantage just by being in his presence. They had to come up with the same faith to trust that he was being faithful to his word. We might rationalize in our minds and say, well, much easier for them. They saw him, traveled around with him and all. But they had to come up with the same faith now that he had ascended to the Father. And the doubt changer was the gift of the Holy Spirit. No question. He put a tremendous emphasis on the importance of the gift of the Holy Spirit, receiving that gift. In fact, going so far as to say, without that gift, you're not going to be able to make this happen. And so he gives them the gift. And that becomes the equalizer, and the church becomes the body that he was preparing for. And they begin to have life and energy, and 2,000 years later, that's why we gather here. Story is told that when Jesus returned to the kingdom, the archangel Gabriel met him, and he said to Jesus, oh, you're back so soon? 33 years, you know, that was a short trip. And he said, oh yeah, I'm back. And he said, well, what happened? He said, well, they crucified me. So Gabriel said, so you failed. Well, no, he said, I didn't. He said, I brought together a group of individuals and they're going to carry it on. He said, I taught for Israel, but they're going to proclaim it to the whole world. And Gabriel said, and what if it fails? He said, I don't have another plan. It's only one. And that is the church that he entrusted to his disciples. And it's hard for us to reckon. And we, like the disciples, have the same anxieties and doubts and worries and faith. Maybe a human example would help us. Lech Walesa, you know the name? Good. Those of you that are a little older certainly know. He was an electrician in the shipyard in Gdansk in Poland. And during those years, he and his fellow workers founded a movement called Solidarity. Solidarity, where they were united together. And they were looking for proper conditions for themselves. And they certainly came up against the government. Lech Walesa became the leader of that group, and this brought him into open conflict with the communist leadership and the rulers of his country. But eventually, the workers won out, and the communist regime collapsed, and democracy returned to Poland. And then on December 9th in 1990, something happened that a few years prior to that would have been unthinkable. Happened in another part of the world as well. But it happened. Lech Walesa, the shipyard worker, was elected president of the free democratic country. It was a great honor for him. And it certainly was a great event for his fellow workers at the shipyard. They were delighted. And they too felt honored because of their association with him. They had worked with him to try and bring about some of this reform. However, there was a sadness for them as well, because they knew that that this change would certainly bring about a change in their relationship with him. They knew they were losing him. However, they were hoping that from his position now, he wouldn't forget them and he would be able to help them. And Lech Walesa himself tells the story. He says, the day after my election as president of the country, I went back to Gdansk to the shipyard where I had worked. He said, I emerged from the bulletproof Volvo that was now my official car, and I went directly to my former workshop. He said, I got choked up when I looked at the small metal locker which I had used to store my tools. Workers in overalls, looking embarrassed, congratulated me, and I was no longer one of them. But I wanted them to understand that I knew how they felt. And shyly, they said, we hope you will be able to change our lives, Mr. President. It's a very human part of that experience of ascending the ladder. It's not like the ascension of Jesus, but it gives us that sense, somebody coming up and now has the great power to really help those individuals that were really a part of that team. Jesus is much more vast and broad than that. During Jesus' public ministry, he ate and drank with the apostles and the disciples, and particularly with those who were in great need, the poor and the lonely, the poor and the widows and orphans and children. He met with them all and ate and drank with them, so much so that most people felt he was just like themselves. He was like one of them because of that relationship that they enjoyed with him. And so the question of the ascension brought up a lot of issues. Did it mean that all of this intimacy and all of this relationship and familiarity would be ended? And the answer was yes and no, really. The experience of personal relationship with him would be changed. Physically, he wasn't going to be present to them as he had been. But he was going to be much more powerfully present to them because he was going back to God the Father, as the second reading put it so well. He was arrayed with glory in the kingdom, seated at the right hand of the Father, and now he was Lord of all creation. He had simply taken on a new role, but it was the original role that he had as God. He had taken time from that to come and live among us and show us how to live. After many years of humble labor and dangerous struggles, Lech Walesa achieved the great honor of being elected president of his country. And after the years of struggle, now he understood the plight of his people. Jesus, having lived in our world, understood the plight of his people, and then returned to the Father and entrusted the church to that little fledgling group that he had prepared. For those who have faith, Jesus is closer to them now than he was when he was in the world. That's if we have faith in him, and if we have that gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to believe. Otherwise, he just went on ahead. The gospel ends with Jesus' promise to remain with his disciples always, right up to the very end. And the ascension is really celebrating his liberation. Liberated from the experience of time and restrictions of time and space, now he is present everywhere and to everyone. And uses that gift that he breathed upon them, the gift of the Spirit, to help them know that. The church really caught that at Pentecost. They were holed up, they were fearful, they were terrorized before that, and then they received that gift. That was the changer of doubt and fear, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus... ascension into heaven does not represent his removal from the earth, but rather celebrates that he is present everywhere. During his earthly ministry, he was capable of being in one place, in his human person. When he was in Capernaum, he wasn't in Nazareth, he wasn't in Jerusalem. When he was in Jerusalem, he wasn't in Nazareth. He was in the one place, but returning to the Father, being God of all, and joining his Father at the right hand, made himself present to everyone. The first Christians, they had a sense of understanding that after they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, but only after that. They knew that Jesus was still with them somehow through this gift that he had given them. And they believed that he still shared their lives and that ultimately death would mean for them a joining with him, coming together with him, that every individual from the beginning to the end of time would experience death and come to fullness of life with him. That's what it was about. And these three events were certainly related. While they are separated in time, the passion, death, resurrection, ascension, and the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit, they were all related. They were all one event. even though we celebrate them separated in time, they were all part of the eternal plan of God. And so he entrusted that gift of the Holy Spirit to his church to carry on. And his commission was the final, the grand commission, we call it in the gospel, go and make disciples of all nations. That's our purpose. That is the only reason that we exist in the world, to make disciples and to proclaim the kingdom. All the other stuff, our vocations and families and everything else, hey, that's the dressing. The objective, to go and make disciples. How are we making disciples in our families, among our friends, in our work, in our vocation? That's the primary question for us. So how are we making disciples here at St. Paul's? How do we do it? As you drove in this morning, do you think people were saying, oh, there they are, those are the disciples of Jesus, you know? The one that was crucified, and they're his disciples, and they're gathering together. I wonder what they're gathering for, right? They're gathering to sing and celebrate and respond, right? Oh, come on. They are? Hey, we got a ways to go, but that's exactly and precisely what it is. At the Ascension, he entrusted it to them. He said, go and make disciples. Hey, don't go to Mass. Go and make disciples. We've added the going to Mass piece, and we haven't done a great job, you know? Oh, clericalism. You think about it. Oh, well, you're learning a lot about it? Keep learning more.